The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Tonight, probably one of the more fun shows of the year. We are going to do our season-long predictions. So we were going to be going through the division winners, East, Central, and West in both leagues. We will make our wild card picks, our Cy Young, MVP, and then finally, in the end, we will reveal our World Series matchups. And last year, it was the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. So this is the ultimate crapshoot, that last part of the show. So we're going to skip the hi, how are yous. We've got the full crew here, minus Micah, who was busy tonight. So we're going to be getting right into it. So we'll start with the American League East. Jason, you are leading off. Go ahead. Who's winning it?
The AL East, I think, is going to be one of the more interesting divisions this year, apart from the Red Sox. But all the other four teams in that division, very strong. But I've got the Baltimore Orioles winning the AL East. I just think the addition of Corbin Burns, Jackson Holliday is going to join the team now. He's like the best prospect in baseball. I like their rotation. I like their bullpen. They can score a lot of runs. I just think the Yankees are going to run out of steam at some point. They always seem to run into injuries as well. Not a believer in the Blue Jays. I don't like what they did in the offseason. And I think the Rays are going to struggle. I think the Rays are finally going to hit that point where it's just, you know, their pitchers break too often and it's going to catch up with them. So, and I've made my thoughts pretty clear on what I think about the Red Sox offseason. So they're not even in the conversation. So for me, it's the Baltimore Orioles.
Orioles for Jason. Cody, go ahead.
Jason, if I'm not mistaken, last year I think you and I were in lockstep, or, you know, some of the hot takes we thought we each had, we were kind of overlapping on some takes. And I guess, you know, old habits die hard, because I too have the Orioles for the AL East. As much as you want to lay out, you know, the things that the Orioles did, you know, Jason mentioned Holliday coming up. Their biggest, you know, I guess, detriment to last season was losing Bautista. And what do? They went out and signed Kimbrel. Now, he's not the Kimbrel of old, but they at least, you know, paid attention to that position and paid attention to that need. They got younger, obviously, by bringing up Holliday and Mayo, the other prospect, and they got more experienced. You know, they didn't necessarily have the splashiest offseason, but they went out and they addressed the needs that they had, the concerns, you know, with the team that they had from the offseason last year when they got swept by the Rangers. And the rest of the East just kind of either, you know, stayed put or got incrementally better. The Yankees added Soto. That's sick. But, you know, I don't think it's enough to put him over the top. Cole's already got some issues. Who knows if Judge can stay healthy. Stanton's always iffy. The Blue Jays and the Rays, you know, they're going to carry their water. They're going to carry their weight. But I don't think they're going to be enough to catch a team that won 100 games last year and got better in the offseason. So for me, this was one of the more simple divisions. Loved what the Orioles did. You know, they didn't make any large commitments and they didn't make any, you know, drastic moves that are kind of going all in for one season and, you know, making next year or the years after hurt. So it was pretty simple. I like the Orioles for the AL East.
Charlie.
Well, Wow, 3 for 3. I know people were probably thinking I was going to go New York on this one, but after what happened with Gerrit Cole, I do think that the Baltimore Orioles are trending in the absolute right and upwards trajectory and direction. There is so much going right for this team. I think the only thing that they stumbled getting out of the blocks, and again, just speculating, Jackson Holliday not making the starting roster, stupid decision. It was a baseball decision for, I believe, just holding on to the rights for one extra year. Otherwise, there's absolutely no reason why this guy does not make your starting, you know, roster to begin 2024. There's absolutely, I mean, you're left kind of wondering, like, how. You also, we haven't even addressed, you know, we talked about Corbin Burnes. We didn't talk about Adley Rutschman, who's arguably a superstar catcher in the making, the most exciting catching player in Major League Baseball since, take your pick. And I'm talking bigger than Posada. I'm talking about bigger than Veritek, because the guy can hit, he can field, he can steal bases. I feel that this guy can do it all. And honestly, I think probably the most exciting catcher since Mike Piazza. That's my take on that. People can call me crazy. They also have Chicken Wing closing it out in Baltimore. So Craig Kimbrell's their closer. I'm curious to see how that's going to pan out. But this team just, if everybody can take one step forward or even two steps forward, this team is going to be lethal.
I told myself I wouldn't do this. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm sick of this team just burning me with my preseason optimism. But for the third year in a row, I'm going to take the Toronto Blue Jays. I just feel like they're the best balanced team. Now, I'll get to them in a second. So I'm not going with the Yankees because I don't have the confidence Gerrit Cole's going to come back. Nestor Cortez hasn't been healthy since 2022. Carlos Rodon is like an NHRA dragster that blows his engine as soon as the light goes green. Hard to trust him there. And then Marcus Stroman, I just think that's a bad market for him. Bad numbers at Yankee Stadium. And their offense is old. And Judge hasn't been healthy for 2 or 3 years himself. Stanton is basically washed at this point. Same could be said for DJ LeMahieu. Anthony Rizzo is healthy. You know, good for him. He had some concussion, neurological issues. Gleyber Torres still pretty solid. And annoyingly, I think Alex Verdugo is going to have a good year, but I don't have the Yankees in it. The reason I don't trust the Orioles is their rotation is a little bit shaky. Their ace from last season there, Kyle Bradish, strain in his UCL. I've seen other reports saying partial tear. They're just rehabbing it. He might have had some PRP injections. I couldn't get any clarity on that, but they expect him back towards the end of April. I'm never confident in that type of treatment approach to an elbow injury. I just think Tommy John's inevitable. I think Corbin Burnes is absolutely going to help them, and that was a good pickup. But Grayson Rodriguez, trust issues. He just can't figure it out. And they've got a lot of back-end guys, much like the Red Sox do. Tyler Wells, Cole Irvin, Dean Kramer. I think the Orioles do have the best offense, and if I'm wrong about this and they win the division like you guys have picked, I think the offense is going to have the most to say about that. It's a fun offense, and it's still a cute team. Eventually, I'll get annoyed by how good they are, but we suck at the moment, so there's no sense being spiteful. And then when you get to the Blue Jays, Kevin Gausman, Jose Berríos, Chris Bassett, Yusei Kikuchi had one of his best, he had his best season ever last year. I don't know what to think of Alek Manoah, big time maturity issues there. Can't seem to figure it out. Can't seem to get skinny. They got that Yariel Rodriguez kid who some Red Sox nerds were kind of high on. I don't know really what to think, but maybe he plays a factor. Blue Jays have a very good bullpen, and you got that core with, you know, Guerrero, Springer, Biggio, Justin Turner is there, and I think he's going to fix the malfunction. That's Justin Turner is the reason why I'm going with the Blue Jays. I think he's going to fix the malfunction from either the three or the four hole, and I think this Blue Jays offense is finally going to get it done. And, I mean, Turner was hitting for a while. He was over 400 with runners in scoring position last year. I think he tailed off a little bit and was around 370 at the end of the year, but that's still fantastic. So I'm not super confident, but I'm going with the Blue Jays. Over to the AL Central. This is an interesting division. Jason, who do you like?
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's the second worst division in all of baseball, which makes it kind of difficult to pick a winner here. But when you really look at it, it's, you know, it's a top-heavy division because the White Sox are completely blowing things up. They're completely rebuilding. The Tigers are still rebuilding. They're getting better, but they're not there yet. Royals, same thing. They're getting there, but they're not there yet. So it's really just who do you want between the Twins and the Guardians? And I have trust issues with the Guardians. You know, first year without Tito, new manager, first-time manager. Their pitchers, too, like, it's just Shane Bieber should be good, but he seems like he's tailing off now a little bit, and I don't trust him to score enough runs. So by default, I'm going to take the Twins to win the division. And I still don't love the Twins as a team, the way they're constituted. But their rotation, you know, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan at the top, that's a pretty filthy combination. They've got Duran as their closer, who's absolutely filthy. Nobody wants to face that guy. And one move that they did do this offseason that I actually think will benefit them is they picked up Manuel Margot to play center field, and that's going to allow Byron Buxton to DH a lot more, and he needs to DH because that guy can never stay healthy. And if this helps him, you know, play over 100 games and actually – stay healthy over the course of a full season, he could put up some really good offensive numbers. And that's something that Minnesota's been lacking. They've been lacking that middle-of-the-order real impact bat. Carlos Correa hasn't really been that since he's gotten there, not the way they wanted him to anyway. So I think if Buxton stays healthy, if Correa, you know, elevates his game this year, I think they'll be in good shape. So I'm going to take the Twins. It's not a sexy pick, but I just think they're still the best team in that division.
Code Man.
I had some fun with this one. You know, the AL Central, infamously mid-America geography, mid-major talent level. I'm picking the Tigers. I'm buying in on the youth movement. You know, Skubal had a great end of the season last year, picked up where he left off in spring training, excuse me. They brought in Flaherty and Kenta Maeda to kind of help groom some of that youth. They've got some exciting pitching prospects. Obviously, you know, they've got some bats that they're trying to figure it out at the major league level. They got Erod out of there. Hopefully the vibes are up. You know, Jason outlined it great, right? This division is a division of have-nots. And so, you know, you're looking around a team of young guys. If they get a couple of good wins early, it's a why not us mentality. They're playing fast. They're playing loose. They're playing athletic. And you put a couple of frontline starters at the head of that rotation. You know, things can kind of happen pretty quickly for you. The Guardians usually, you know, can't score runs and they're dependent upon pitching. That pitching has been breaking down for them recently. And Buxton's already dealing with back tightness, right? That guy kind of is the propeller to the team. You know, I think they won the division last year with 86 wins, give or take. And the Tigers finished runner up with 76. So, you know, you only have one team in front of you. I think it's a spunky pick for sure. It's definitely not. I don't think there's a lot of house money on the Tigers to take the division. But I was looking at the rosters. I was looking at the offseason. I kind of liked what they did. They addressed some needs that they had. They brought in some veteran leadership. Give me the Tigers.
Charlie.
Still kind of shocked, but you know what? I mean, I went Angels 3 years in a row. So I'm not going to say anything about Tigers. For all the reasons that Jason brought up, I just read a message. I can't go against Minnesota here. I can't. And here's why. I think that when Pablo Lopez got traded to the Minnesota Twins, they immediately jumped everybody else in that incredibly weak division. No disrespect to the other teams there. Some of them are rebuilding. Some of them are trying to figure it out. But Minnesota with Pablo up at the helm is not a team to be joking around with. You're also getting Royce Lewis, who's healthy now. We just saw what Royce Lewis was able to do in an incredibly small sample size of, I think, what, 58, 57 games, something like that, and had 12 or 13 home runs, was a beast in the playoffs, almost had an RBI a game. They also have that, I think he's the second baseman, Edouard Julien, who Terry ended up drafting on in fantasy, and no one really knew who he was and whatnot, and is projected to get the second most number, the second highest number of walks behind Juan Soto. He's got incredibly good plate discipline. We already talked about, it was already talked about with Buxton not having to play the field, which means he won't get injured as often. I'd really love to see Buxton play 120 games. It doesn't happen when he plays the field. They've also had players on their team that haven't been able to put a full season together, not because of injury, but because they just can't hit the ball. So my hope is that, again, this team can also take some steps forward, progress in the right direction. I'm not a huge Carlos Correa fan, but I think that as far as options go at short, you can do much worse than Correa. And I'm curious to see if Kepler can turn around for 24 as well. Kirilloff was a guy a couple of years ago people were really, really psyched about, has not really been able to put like quality season in, season out together. But I mean, dude, if you look at it, Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan 1-2, that's a powerhouse combination. That's better than any other team in that division. So Twins for me.
I am going to go with the Kansas City Royals to win the AL Central. I like what they've done with their rotation. Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, good additions. You got to hope that they'll be durable for most of the season. They got that Cole Reagans kid who had a breakout year last year. I think he was acquired in the Chapman trade, if I'm not mistaken. And their lineup, not super robust, but they've got a pretty decent young core with Pasquantino, Bobby Witt, Mikel Garcia. If Michael Massey can just kind of take a step forward, I just think that's going to be a great infield. In the outfield, you got Kyle Isbell, MJ Melendez, who's a great power threat, but just hasn't seemed to been able to put it together in terms of consistency. But if that happens this year, it's just going to bolster their chances. And then they also have my favorite Red Sox player from 2021, Hunter Renfroe, slotted in as their right fielder. So would I be shocked if the Twins win it? I mean, they've got a pretty sneaky good lineup. They didn't really address the loss of Sonny Gray, who was huge for them last year. So we'll see, but the Guardians, their only hitter is Ramirez. he has literally carried their offense for the better part of the last decade. And Detroit, I like it. It's bold, but I like the Royals just a little bit better. Over to the American League West. Jason, who do you got?
I'm taking the Seattle Mariners to win the American League West. I think that they are one of the most complete teams in baseball, at least on paper. Their rotation 1-5 is just young, nasty arms. You got Castillo at the top. Then it's, you know, guys like George Kirby, who all of a sudden now is going to start throwing a knuckleball every now and then. So that's fun. That's fun for opposing hitters. The guy can throw 98 and then throw a 61-mile-an-hour knuckleball. I'll talk about this guy a little bit later, but Julio Rodriguez, I think, is going to go off this year. His sophomore campaign last year was incredible, finished fourth in the MVP voting, and he's only getting better as he gets older. So I think he's going to go off. They added Jorge Polanco in the offseason. He's had a monster spring. He's a good, you know, infield addition for them, so a little more offense heading their way. And their bullpen is solid, too. Andrés Muñoz is a really good closer out there, so it's going to be a tight race, I think, between them and Houston. Houston's just always going to be there. We know that. But I think the Mariners are now finally ready to take that next step. Their young guys are ready to go. I think Julio Rodriguez is going to lead the way there. And I think the Mariners will just barely win the division over the Astros. So taking Seattle.
Cody.
And I got the flip side of that coin. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? I mean, the Astros have ended the ALCS 7 straight years, and I think that's going to be the biggest competition that they've got to repeating as AL West champions, is just the amount of extra baseball that they've had to play. You know, Urquidy, Verlander, McCullers are already dealing with issues, but you still look at that roster, right? I mean, you've got Tucker, Hader, Alvarez, Abreu, Bregman, Pena, like the names go on. And that's not even talking about Framber Valdez. This team is just so deep. And, you know, I forgot to mention Jose Altuve. I don't know if it's because I'm living here in Houston now, if I'm drinking the Kool-Aid or what's going on, but you know, this team, even in a down year last year, when we're like, oh, can the Astros figure it out? Are they going to be the same team? They still won the division. You know, they went toe to toe with the Rangers. I'm going to keep picking the Astros. I'm going to keep putting the money on them until I'm proven wrong. Jason, I really liked what you said about the Mariners. You know, I'm going to talk about them a little bit later because that team out West is looking good, right? They got rid of some money that, you know, put them in some constraints. They made some great offseason moves. But when all the chips are down, when it matters the most, the guys in Houston, they do it the best. And until it's, you know, done otherwise, I'm going to continue to pick Houston.
Charlie.
I'm going with the Mariners as well. I feel like, Jason, just vote for two because we've actually gone 3-for-3 so far. It's hard to follow that because I think Rodriguez had arguably the second best single month in the season behind what Mookie Betts was able to do in a 1 month window. Julio Rodriguez is one of the most exciting players in Major League Baseball and is the most exciting talent to come to Seattle since Ken Griffey Jr., and it's not even close. Love George Kirby. I love some of the other guys on their team, but not as much as I like George Kirby and not as much as I like Rodriguez. Ty France is also a dynamic player. He's not someone that's going to, you know, blow the doors off you in any way, shape, or form, but he is an exciting talent that can play first, can play second, can play third. You can put him anywhere you want in that field. I can't pick Houston. I don't think that Houston's going to be able to stay healthy all year long. You already touched up on the fact that Jorge Polanco had a good spring. He had a fantastic spring. Absolutely out of this world. I'm really kind of curious to see how Dylan Moore can play out as well. I know people are kind of like, whatever. And then Mitch Haniger is back in Seattle where it all began, and hopefully he doesn't get a torn cuticle and miss the rest of the season, because Mitch Haniger is a really talented player. I hope that he can stay healthy. The guy I couldn't think of earlier was Logan Gilbert, and then also Luis Castillo up top too. So literally you can't go wrong with Seattle, and truth be told, you can't go wrong with Houston as well. So I think honestly it's going to be like 1-2. Either one of those is solid.
So I thought I was going to pick the Mariners. I really did. I love their rotation. I think they have head and shoulders the best rotation, maybe one of the best in the American League even. But I think they really had a dud of a winter as far as bolstering that lineup. Jorge Polanco is good. Very serviceable. Hits for decent average, decent pop. But does he really move the needle? I don't think so. Ty France, you know, has flashes throughout each season. I think he gets hurt a little bit, but again, not a game changer. Neither is Josh Rojas. Dominic Canzone. Mitch Haniger had a dud of a year last year. I don't trust this offense to get it done. And then you go over to Houston and Cody kind of laid it out perfectly. It's hard to find a weakness here. You know, you got Abreu at first, Altuve, Bregman, Pena in the infield. That's pretty good. Alvarez most likely DHing most of the time. Kyle Tucker will probably have something to say about the MVP race. I'm not familiar with Jake Myers, but I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah, not that great last year, but But still, I just think there's still an offensive juggernaut. And you look at second base, I think Jose Altuve is going to be one of the greatest second basemen of all time. I mean, it's just, it's a weak position historically. And I mean, who was the last real good second baseman? Utley, maybe? It's just not good.
Oh, you're talking about all of Major League Baseball, not specifically the Astros, because the Astros, they only had one. That was Craig Biggio.
Right.
So that was it.
It's just,
I don't know, not many
Hall of Famers.
A lot of people would actually probably say like Robbie Cano, Dan Uggla for the Marlins back in the day was solid. A lot of people kind of forget about him.
Yeah.
So there have been a couple.
I mean, I think Jose Altuve, if he retired tomorrow, he's in probably on the first ballot. And I think he's still got at least two or three more good years left. So I'm going with the Astros. Their pitching gives me a little bit of pause. I think with Justin Verlander at this point, he's 41. You're just hoping he's serviceable. He can eat up some innings for you and just find a way to get outs. Framber Valdez, this might be his walk here, if I'm not mistaken, but I think they'll figure it out. It would have been nice if they got Blake Snell. If they would have landed him, then I think that puts them over the top. But nonetheless, I'll stick with them. Let's get into our wild cards. Jason, which three do you have?
So the three wild cards I've got going are the Yankees, the Astros, and the Rangers. Real simple, just with the Astros, I agree with what Cody said. It's they're a factory. They just pump out winning season after winning season. They added Josh Hader to be their closer. So, you know, they've got the ninth inning, you know, locked down now. The Yankees, I didn't have them winning the division over Baltimore, but I still think their roster is good. And I think that if they are in the hunt come the trade deadline, which I expect they will be, I think Cashman will be aggressive. I could see them pulling off something big at the deadline to really put them over the edge. If they're lucky, maybe Gerrit Cole is healthy by then. He's back pitching. Juan Soto will probably have 45 home runs by the break. So he's going to have a monster season. And with the Rangers, like, you know, people kind of forget, like, they're still a really good team. Like, just because Max Scherzer is, you know, coming off a back surgery, won't be available, like, they still have a really solid rotation and they score a ton of runs. I mean, their offense is ridiculous. So I just don't really believe in any of the other American League teams that I left out. Again, I talked about it before, but like, I don't believe in the Rays this year. I think they're going to take a step back. I don't think the Blue Jays can get there. I don't think the Guardians can get there. So I think those are the three best teams left available after the division winners. So, yeah, Yankees, Astros, Rangers. That's who I've got.
Charlie.
I actually have, in this order, Rangers would be first. Astros would be second. And third would be the Yankees. And literally the only reason is because I think they're going to add the pieces that they need to get at the deadline once it gets to that point. I don't think the teams like the Twins are going to be doing something like that. I don't think the Guardians are going to have anything there. And I don't think that the Blue Jays nor the Red Sox nor the Rays are going to be able to compete with the teams that are willing to put in the extra money. The one thing about the Yankees is they have the most lethal 1-2 punch in the American League as far as hitting. But the problem is their pitching leaves a lot to be desired. You have pitchers that don't want to pitch when they've been asked to pitch on opening day, which is mind-blowing. An amazing honor, and you're choosing, no, I don't want to do that, which blows my mind. The Rangers are the Rangers, and once Corey Seager is 100%, which we hope is this season, you cannot sleep on them either. And then the Astros are the Astros. I mean, they always seem to figure it out and put it together. I don't remember Cody's exact words, but until there's another team that I'm just going to have you repeat it because I don't want to misquote you.
I mean, until somebody else does it, why pick against them?
There you go. So the Astros, again, have continued to figure it out year in and year out. And for so many reasons, I think Kyle Tucker is a sleeper for AL MVP, although he's not mine. I think that's not a bad decision or a bad call. That's a pretty solid one. If that ends up being right, double points for you. But I mean, it's pretty sure shot. Like the teams that are spending more money, the teams that have that upper echelon talent, these are the guys, these are the six teams that are going to be playing in October or putting all their eggs in a specific basket to fill that missing piece or get that missing piece in order to get them to the next level. So those three in order again, Rangers, Astros, and then Yankees.
I am going with the Mariners, Orioles, and the Twins. I don't have the Yankees or the Rangers into the playoffs. And if you're a little surprised why I don't have the Rangers, I don't trust the pitching. I just don't trust it. Nathan Eovaldi's having a very good spring. ERA in the mid twos. He's basically punching out at least one per inning. You know, that's what you want to see. After that, it drops off. I think Dane Dunning might have had a decent second half last year, if I'm not mistaken, but John Gray is John Gray. Andrew Heaney is Andrew Heaney. I don't know what Scherzer has left. He's kind of in the Verlander category. I think Verlander is probably a little healthier. It takes him a little while to get going out of spring training, but once he gets into his rhythm, he usually stays in it. Scherzer has issues throughout the season, and Jake DeGrom will be back at some point in the summer, but in his second start, he'll probably leave the game in the second inning over nothing. And I don't trust the toughness or durability with him. So I kind of have last year as a little bit of a flash in the pan for them. They should have done something else. They should have brought back Montgomery. They still can. And if they do bring back Montgomery, they're probably in the wild card at that point. I would probably have to adjust this list a little bit. And probably remove the Twins, but for now I don't have them, and I think the Yankees are just busted. And yeah, Juan Soto is great, but how great was he for the Padres? How great was he? So, he was good, but he wasn't putting them on his back and getting them in. So. All right, let's go over to the Cy Young category. This is hard. This is a hard one. But Jason, go ahead. Take a shot at it.
So I don't think this team is going to have a great season, but I think Tarik Skubal is going to be your American League Cy Young winner. That guy is absolutely nasty. He's got all the tools. If he stays healthy, it should be his. He's got some competition for sure. You know, Kevin Gausman is still in the American League. He's still always a threat. Framber Valdez with Houston, you know, should have a good season. But Gerrit Cole being hurt, and we don't know how much time he's going to miss exactly, like, that opens up, you know, a lane for Tarik Skubal to, you know, put his name in the ringer there for Cy Young. So I just think he's one of the best young pitchers in the game. I think he's going to open up a lot of eyes. You know, if he pitches a full season this year, he's just absolutely filthy. So, hopefully health is there and, you know, nothing goes wrong there. But if he stays healthy, I think it's him. Because I think the other candidates, too, they're just starting to age out a little bit. Like Kevin Gausman is getting older and, you know, again, Gerrit Cole's hurt now. So, you know, he's not really going to be a factor. Some of the younger guys in the American League, Grayson Rodriguez, George Kirby, who we talked about, maybe they'll kind of give him a run for his money. But to me, it's Skubal all the way. I think he's the best left-handed arm in the American League right now.
Cody.
You can make a debate whether or not there's momentum in sports. I know that there's a certain school of thought that disagrees, that says momentum in sports doesn't exist. But I'll tell you something that does exist on the backs of momentum, and that's storylines. I think baseball especially kind of feeds into that. They like to see an ascension of a player. They see an ascension of a team. And that's what leads me to think George Kirby is going to be the AL Cy Young for this year. It could be a little bit of a dark horse. I don't know. went 13-10 last year, sub 3.5 ERA, 170 plus strikeouts, you know, anchored a very strong rotation. We had talked at length already on this podcast about how the Mariners are going to be good, and I think it's going to be upon the backs of a Kirby following in the footsteps of Castillo. You know, I think if he continues to maybe go a little bit deeper into games, factor into more decisions, they get that offense rolling, he bumps those wins up a little bit, gets that ERA down a little bit more. You're looking at what I think is a bona fide Cy Young candidate. He's already got a top 10 Cy Young finish under his belt. And, you know, he doesn't even necessarily need to win that many more games, right? As long as you have a winning record. And even if you don't, if you have some crazy other peripheral statistics, they're going to tend to tip the cap in your direction. So, you know, if the Mariners get off to a hot start, they continue to play well, and they do so upon the backs of Kirby among some of the other young stud contributors they got. I don't see how you can't give them the Cy Young. However, if Skubal gets the Cy Young, I just want people to know your boy picked the Tigers of the Central. Don't forget it.
Charlie.
So, oh man, it stinks to go third. So I want to create a motion that Jason should go third for the second half of the show. No, I'm kidding. I felt so good when he picked Skubal because I had him in one of my group of three. George Kirby was also in my three and was the one that I ultimately think will end up being that kind of under the radar guy, because I think a lot of people are picking Tarik Skubal, and I think a lot of people are picking some of the names that you mentioned are on their way out, and this is probably their last chance to get it. George Kirby's an exciting pitcher. As you mentioned, is learning the knuckleball, which is one of the more exciting pitches, even though it's not 100 miles an hour. But if you can flip 96 and then throw 69, it's a pretty special feat that nobody else in Major League Baseball can do. It's also, I think, a little nod to one of our former pitchers who was an absolute star in Boston, to the late Tim Wakefield. I can't go wrong with George Kirby. And truth be told, the guy gets more amped up about walking someone than he does about striking somebody out, which I think is like a weird mind blank. I don't want to say the word, but you know what I'm thinking. He gets so upset about walking someone than actually getting more excited about striking someone out. So I think it's just going to be consistency, consistency, consistency. And if those players in Seattle can take it a step further, you're not going to see 12 or 13 wins from Kirby. You're going to see 18, 19 wins. And you're going to see a guy who can go 6-7 innings, hopefully on a very consistent basis, to the like a la Houston Astros that had one or two guys do that last year and the year before. So George Kirby for me, that's two for Kirby.
I'm going to go a little bit outside the box here. And I think this guy is going to be a big reason the Kansas City Royals win the division, if I'm correct. I'm going to go with Cole Reagans. He's pitching in a very favorable division outside of maybe the Twins. I think the Twins have the best offense in that division. But I like the strikeouts with Reagans, and we'll see what happens. Here's one guy I want to put on the radar. Like, it could be an out of nowhere candidate. And I was lucky in Charlie's fantasy league. I didn't have to take him, and nobody else did. And I waited till the draft was done and then snuck him in off the waiver wire. He pitched for the Red Sox last year. Zach Lytle, okay? This dude is a punch-out machine right now. His ERA in spring training is like just over one. And with all those injuries in that Tampa rotation, they might get some of them back later in the year, but he's going to have opportunities to pitch. And it's a very pitcher-friendly environment. You know, they've had multiple Cy Young's come out of there, and you know, also other years where just some of their pitchers finished highly. This guy could be a surprise. I'm not saying he's going to win the Cy Young, but he's going to be one of those out of nowhere guys that probably has a big year. But I'm going with Reagans, and I looked at some of the Mariners guys. I just don't think they're ready to take that step yet, or at least not to the point where I'm going to be brave enough to do it. So Let's get into the MVPs. Jason, who do you like?
Yeah, I touched on him a little bit earlier, but I'm taking Julio Rodriguez to be your American League MVP. Just classic five-tool player who, you know, is now entering his third season. His rookie year, he finished seventh in the MVP voting. His sophomore year, he finished fourth. So logically, if he jumps another three spots again, he's your MVP. And honestly, it's just his game is really now starting to round into form. I mean, he had 32 homers last year, you know, 32 homers, 37 stolen bases. He has 40 home run power. I mean, he can absolutely get to that milestone. And I think he can do it this year. So, you know, he's very similar to Acuna in that way, you know, right-handed power hitting center fielder, five-tool player, plays great defense as well. And he's going to be the anchor for that Seattle Mariners team. You look around the rest of the American League. I mean, I don't think Judge is going to do it this year. I just don't, you know, whether he's banged up or whether he just doesn't have the same kind of year he's had before, you know, in seasons past. I don't think he'll get there. I think Juan Soto might be Julio's biggest competition because he's in a ballpark that is so perfectly suited for him. It's not even funny. But the rest of the American League, like, you know, Jose Ramirez, I don't think so. Yordan Alvarez out in Houston, maybe, but I don't know. He kind of gets hurt at times too, and he misses too much time. So I just think Julio Rodriguez is the best all-around player in the American League. And this is his time to put it all together and finally win an MVP. So he's my pick.
Cody.
J-Rod's an excellent pick. You know, you mentioned he's a five-tool player. He contributes in all facets of the game, offensively, on the base paths, defensively. You know, he was, you know, one of the last two players I was deciding between. But you mentioned him in your diatribe, Jason. I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez. I think the dude is the heartbeat of the Astros, and that team is too good. And not only does Yordan mash, you know, 40-plus home runs, 120-plus RBIs as a potential, but he does it in the biggest moments, right? So, like, all of his hits are catastrophic to the opponents. And I think that's going to maybe tip the scales on a little bit of, you know, in his favor, right? If the Astros go as I think they do, if they take the AL West and they keep, you know, the Mariners at bay, I think, you know, a couple of those late inning home runs, I mean, he did it to those very Mariners in the AL, I think it was the divisional round last year. You know, they had him dead to rights. They brought him in, bang, three-run job. I think it was a walk-off, if I'm remembering correctly. But Alvarez, you know, he is the Houston Astros. That team goes as he goes. And if he puts up a monster season like we know he's capable of with the Crawford boxes, with the short porch in right field as well, you know, different short porch, that's neither here nor there. I think the MVP is all but his.
Charlie.
I hate myself for picking this just because of the team. And I think people have an idea where I'm going. And this is going to be possibly the first one that we actually have five different picks. But for me, I think the combination of Juan Soto and right field at Yankee Stadium for 81 games is just going to be like a college spring break. He's going to hit 45, 55, 65 home runs, and he's going to walk 130 times. His batting average is going to be over 320. He may not steal 30 bases and hit that 30-30 plateau, but he'll double up the homers and probably maybe half his stolen bases. So 60 home runs, 15 stolen bases, or 30-30. Neither are ugly, but I think Juan Soto hasn't sniffed an MVP title. Nobody's picks so far have been bad, but I just think, I mean, right field at Yankee Stadium is a joke. It's an absolute joke. And when you have somebody with that kind of Herculean power hitting balls like that with excellent plate discipline, with Aaron Judge in the lineup and a couple other tools that are already starting to light up, Anthony Volpe already taking a step forward from last year, I think Soto is a very, very good pick to surprise everybody, maybe, in the American League and take that MVP award.
So I was actually going to pick a Red Sox player for this, but yeah, I know. But we're going to win 70-something games. I think that's going to hurt. And so I'm going to stay off of it. But I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez. His on base last year was second to only Shohei Ohtani. I think he was third in OPS overall behind Seager and Ohtani again. If he's healthy, if he can just overcome that, that was one of Jason's concerns. I think he'll probably hit 40 bombs and really have that breakout year. He's got a very good offense all around him to help, you know, boost some of those categories. And I think this could be a big year for him, even at DH for most of the year. I just think, why not? Why not, Yordan? And if you're wondering who the Red Sox player is, you guys are probably thinking I was going to say Devers. I actually was going to pick Tristan Casas. The dude is a walk machine. He's got the best plate discipline of anybody on the Red Sox, including Devers. And I mean, he could do it. If he can continue this run of good health, I think Tristan Casas might be a future MVP, but I'm going to stay off it this year. Charlie.
I think two categories that we should add for the future. I think we should add rookie of the year prediction. And I think we should also add the surprise like manager of the year prediction, because it's that reason alone that I feel, you know, talking about Tristan Casas, that's on nobody's radar. Zero people's radar. Even if we win 92 games or 90 games, which probably is not going to happen, a couple of years ago or even a year ago, yeah, Tristan Casas might have gotten some looks for rookie of the year. I think it's just something to think about for next year. I love it.
Yeah. All right. So, again, we'll get to our pennant winners in the end, you know, because that's basically the World Series matchup. So let's shift over to the National League. I will be shocked if we don't sweep this one. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah. For the NL East, it's the Atlanta Braves. I mean, come on. It's not even close. They're so stacked. The only question mark for them really is in the starting rotation, because obviously we know they traded for Chris Sale and they brought back Charlie Morton again. So it's like, those are two older guys that you're kind of relying pretty heavily on. Otherwise it's like, it's going to be all Spencer Strider and Max Fried trying to hold it down. But you know what, because they're the Atlanta Braves, they'll get something out of Chris Sale this year. They'll get at least 15 starts. And he'll be at least somewhat productive for them, because of course he will, because everything just goes right for that team. But yeah, their lineup is just so gross. And I think in the NL East, it's really just the Phillies that can make a run at them. But the Phillies stayed stagnant over the offseason. They really didn't change anything. They just brought back Aaron Nola and kind of brought back most of the same team. So I think Atlanta is still kind of head and shoulders above everybody in that division. So it's theirs to lose, and I don't think they're going to lose it. So Atlanta Braves for the NL East.
Before we go to Cody, there were some Jordan Montgomery rumors to the Phillies yesterday. I would still pick the Braves, but that would be a great addition to the Phillies if they do it. But go ahead, Cody.
Rinse and repeat for me. You know, until somebody proves that they can overtake the Braves over the course of 162 games, I'm not going to pick against them. You know, in a 5-game series or a 7-game series, sure, the Phillies or the Diamondbacks or, you know, another team could overtake them. But over the course of 162, the cream rises to the top and the Braves are just an unbelievable machine. They're an absolute unit, right? They can play small ball. They can go yard. They've got a deep rotation. They've got a good bullpen. They've got a farm system. I mean, you want it, they've got it. They've got, you know, a wage war going on. I mean, they got GM of the year over year over year. You can't pull holes in that team, right? And, you know, Jason mentioned the addition of Sale plus, you know, bringing back Charlie Morton. They don't need him to do 30 starts, right? You can, you know, extend them, you can put them in the bullpen during the middle of the season and then have them make major contributions down the stretch when it really does matter, right? They're not counting on Sale to be the top of the rotation starter like we were last year. And so, you know, the flexibility that this Braves roster allows the manager to have, I think, gives them just that little extra edge over the course of 162. They can rest players as needed. They can take a couple off days. I think Acuna's got another 40 70 season potentially in him. I don't know if he actually got to 40 last year. If you guys could keep me honest, maybe he was one or two shy. But I mean, they're just an absolute unit with momentum all pointing in the right direction. And I think they're mad that last year didn't go the way that everybody thought they would. So now they're going to be playing hungry. Strider's adding in new pitches because that's what he needed, more reasons to get guys out. The list goes on and on. And for me, you know, until somebody pulls up and shows us something different, I mean, the Mets aren't going to do anything. The Marlins are the Marlins. And, you know, it is just the Phillies. And, you know, when's the last time you watched a Nationals game on purpose? So for me, it's the Braves. Charlie, over to you.
You said rinse and repeat. I mean, for all the reasons that, you know, everybody else is going to be talking about, we haven't even talked about Austin Riley there. I am so sad that the Red Sox didn't try to make a deeper pull to get Sean Murphy, their catcher, over to Boston. I think that that would have been an amazing add, and he's also torching it this spring. This team really has no glaring holes, and because of that, chewing, Braves, done.
So it's on me. Not a ton to add. I like the Braves. Their offense is just off the charts. And, you know, this team is sort of a dynasty. You know, they're just a perennial winner in that division. The only thing they're missing from the 90s is they don't have their three Hall of Fame pitchers, Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz. You know, if Max Fried took a big step up and then Strider just continues his trajectory, you know, even if it's a half a step forward, you might be two thirds of the way there. But I would have liked it better if they got, you know, another decent starting pitcher this winter or traded for one. Their payroll is way up, way higher than it has been. I think they're pretty well over the luxury tax too, if I'm not mistaken. And because they've been a mid-market team historically, but I'm going to take the Braves, and I hope they're robust because I don't want the Dodgers to go to the World Series. So hopefully they figure it out. All right, over to the NL Central. I think this is the hardest division, even though there was some variance earlier. It's just so hard to pick a winner here, at least in my opinion. But Jason, go ahead.
Go Cubs, go. I'm picking the Chicago Cubs to win the NL Central. I think they had a really good offseason. People slept on their offseason a little too much, but like, they brought back Cody Bellinger, who was great for them. You know, that was a great change of scenery for him, and I think he's happy to be back there, and he should have another monster season. They brought in Craig Counsell to be the new manager. I think that was another really good move. And I know people view Shota Imanaga as like the consolation prize in the Yamamoto sweepstakes, but that guy's a filthy pitcher and he's had a really good spring. I mean, 19 strikeouts in just 9 innings pitched so far in the spring. He's only walked 2 guys. So he looks like he's in top form. He's ready to go. That's a huge addition to their starting rotation. Their lineup is pretty good. And again, it's just, you look at the rest of that division, it's like, do we trust the Cardinals to figure it out again? You know, are they going to get back to their winning ways? I'm not sure. The Brewers, you know, they feels like the Brewers change out their lineup every year, and it still never works. And then the Pirates and Reds, they're not ready yet. They're not there. So to me, it's the Cubs. I just think they're the most stable team in that division. So I think that they will win that division. I think it's really just, you know, their offense is still going to be really good. Their rotation should be solid. And I think at some point we'll see P. Crow Armstrong in the majors. I know he's going to start out in AAA, but I don't think that's going to last very long. So at some point they're going to get their best prospect up on that roster, and he's going to make a huge difference too. So Chicago Cubs for me.
Cody.
I love that we've made the Central the dart throw division. Jason, you made a lot of great points about the Cubs. They didn't do anything super splashy, but they did what they needed to do to, you know, kind of maintain the top level of that division. I'm going to just buy in on youth in the Central divisions. I'm going to go with the Reds on this one. You know, I got a soft spot for De La Cruz. To win in the Central, especially in the National League, you got to have good pitching, and that's what they invested in this offseason. They spent over $108 million to bring in Martinez, to bring in Frankie Montas, Suter, and Pagan. They added Candelario to the lineup. They're going to miss Votto's bat, Votto's presence in the clubhouse for sure, but I don't think the Central did enough to kind of pull away or differentiate itself, any team for that matter. So, you know, I think that youth takes a step forward. That ballpark's a bandbox. Everybody loves the bat in there. De La Cruz is electric. And if he can keep the ball in the yard, you know, invest in the pitching like the Reds have, you know, I'm going to say it again, why not us, right? I like the youth. I like, you know, the energy around the Reds. It's fun when they buy in, when they believe, and when they're trying. So give me Cincinnati for the Central.
For me, it's going to be the Cubs. And the one thing that we haven't talked about is the pitching situation for the Cubs. I really love the direction that it's going in. But as far as the offense, you already talked about Bellinger coming back. Bodie's been having a ridiculous spring for those that aren't paying attention. Kai's had 5 home runs, so he's been a little bit of like that boomer bust type guy. But also Suzuki's been really, really great this spring as well. So the Cubs have been able to turn it around, I think, in a couple of different regards. They're no longer kind of the, you know, like the Red Sox from years past, the lovable losers, like where they're actually putting their foot down and spending money to get the players that they need to get. So Bellinger came back. They made a splash to get a big bat. I think he's going to be able to do exactly what he did last year, maybe even more. Still out on that. We'll see what happens. But one player that I'm going to be talking about in a little bit on the Cubs is someone that I'm really excited for 2024. But Cubs for me, easy.
Well, I guess it wasn't that hard. I'm also taking the Cubs just because I feel like their pitching is by far the best in that division. I'm not in love with their lineup. I mean, outside of Bellinger, I mean, Dansby should have a bounce back year. Suzuki is solid enough, but I don't think it's a very well-balanced team offensively, but every team in this division has like major flaws. There's something glaring on every roster. I do like Cody's pick. I have seen some optimism about the Reds possibly winning 90 games. So there's a little bit of buzz there. Maybe they can finally put it together this year, but I just really like that Cubs rotation. Justin Steele, Hendricks. I don't know what to make of Imanaga yet, but and then they've got Jordan Wicks that they acquired. So we'll see. And if Jameson Taillon has a bounce back year, he was terrible, but still, I think they got a solid 1-4 anyway. Charlie?
Yeah, real quick. The Cubs are also one of the teams that's rumored to be in on Montgomery. So that's something else to be excited about. And then for teams that could potentially make a splash, surprisingly enough, the Cubs are rumored to be one of those teams that could land a superstar first baseman. And if the Cubs get somebody like Pete Alonso from the Mets that just completely blew up, they just completely fell apart, the Cubs would be an absolute juggernaut too.
All right. Over to the West. Jason, who do you like?
It's the Dodgers. It's got to be the Dodgers. I mean, it'll be a miracle if they don't win the division. And I know the Dodgers still have that little bit of like chokiness in them. You know, it's just kind of ingrained in that franchise. But I'm sorry, like Yamamoto, Ohtani, Glasnow, like all the additions they made. Mookie Betts looks like he's going to have the time of his life playing shortstop. He's had a monster spring. Their lineup is still really good. Their rotation is insane. They have so much depth with their pitching. It's ridiculous. So I think the NL West will be a fun division, though. I think the Diamondbacks aren't going away. I think with the Giants, with the offseason they had, I think they're ready to make some noise again. And the Padres are always going to be nipping at the heels of the Dodgers as well. So it should be a fun division, but I think I don't see how the Dodgers don't win the division this year.
Cody?
I mean, the regular season is always the Dodgers to lose, right? Jason, you laid it out that the Dodgers made a lot of great offseason additions, but my bold prediction for the year is Ohtani's going to serve an indefinite suspension at some point. I think there's too much drama circling around that team. You know, you brought in Yamamoto, who is supposed to be electric, and I really hope he is, but you got a new addition, a lot of pressure there. I mean, the seat is about as hot as it can be in every other city except for New York and Los Angeles, right? They thankfully got the one ring in 2020, but even that's kind of growing wary on the faithful Dodger fans. I think the Giants are going to take the NL West. You know, they quietly had a stupendous offseason. I know we talked about it at length with the Snell addition to San Francisco. You know, they went out there. They traded for Robbie Ray. They got Soler, brought in Jordan Hicks, Matt Chapman, Jung-Hoo Lee. They just made those small incremental steps, right? They didn't get into an arms race with Los Angeles. They were just like, hey, look, let's address the needs that we have. Let's stay smart. Let's stay within our, you know, within our time frame, within our pay grade, and let's just play ball, right? Let's roll them out there. Let's see what happens. And over the course of 162, even though the Dodger fans don't really show up early, they don't boo that loudly, the media market isn't that intense in Los Angeles, I think, you know, things are ratcheting up on them, and it's gonna take its toll. It's gonna rear its ugly head. This is a team that, you know, year over year has proven that they can't get it done when it matters, when the chips are down. And, you know, if this media circus picks up and gets into a tizzy this early in the season, I don't think that spells good things for Los Angeles in terms of winning the division. So give me the Giants for the NL West.
Charlie?
I mean, the sun is shining. There are no rain clouds in Los Angeles. The starting lineup for the Dodgers has MVP, 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 future MVP, probably an MVP. It's just dumb. This team just – this offseason was, all right, this player is on the market. Let's see what happens. Breaking news, the Dodgers signed this person for 1 year, $23 million with $22.9 million deferred. Breaking news, the Dodgers signed this player for 2 years, $40 million with $30 million deferred. They got whoever they wanted at their price. It was just dumb. And not all the players have actually lit up the Christmas tree, for the lack of a better term, during the spring. The first two games of the season have already taken place for the Giants, or not the Giants, the Padres and the Dodgers. And one of those games for them did not look pretty. Yamamoto did not do very well in his opening day start there in game two in the season. It was just a complete bomb that went off, and it was terrible. But there's just way too much firepower on that team, both offensively and in the rotation. I mean, they're able to turn crap into gold, and players like Ryan Brazier, who looked like he was done, is arguably one of the best eighth inning guys in baseball now after going to the Dodgers. So, dude, Dodgers all the way.
This was a tough one for me. I'm still tempted to change my mind this second. I'm going to go with the Giants on this one. Yeah, the area that I'm struggling with the Dodgers is their rotation. I just Tyler Glass now is Chris Sale's second cousin. I mean, he's gonna break at some point and take some time off. And Yamamoto got roughed up a little bit. I think he'll be fine. I don't know if we're gonna put him in the top 10 Cy Young, but I just don't think the Dodgers have a ton of depth there. Like, I think they're kind of walking a fine line with that rotation. I love their lineup, and their lineup is much better than that of San Francisco's. But I like the Snell addition, especially in San Francisco. I think Logan Webb is one of the more underrated pitchers in MLB. Robbie Ray is going to be back fairly early in the season. Jordan Hicks, I misspoke with the Cubs. He's with the Giants. Bit of a science project there. He's been a reliever. They're going to try to make him a starter. I hope it works for him. But the other thing I like is they hired Bob Melvin. So I think that could have a nice influence. And I think Los Angeles could be a circus for a lot of the reasons Cody talked about. I don't know that Shohei is going to get out of this thing unscathed. I have some serious trust issues. Like, are they investigating him and his gambling and his interpreter's gambling? Or are they investigating a way to cover it up? Like, that's where I'm at. I don't trust anything. And if you want to see how sleazy MLB is, search the documentary Screwball on your smart TV. It should be on one of the apps. It's about the Biogenesis scandal that brought down a lot of players, most notably Alex Rodriguez. But MLB will get pretty sleazy to get what they want. So I just think, I think the calmness in San Francisco is the big thing for me. Cody's dying to jump in here. What's going on?
You've got a translator with you who's allegedly your best friend, the guy that's with you 24/7, that's laying down 6 to 7 figure bets on over unders, and you're telling me you had no idea what's going on? Your best defense is plausible deniability. I don't know about you guys, but if my buddy's laying down $1 million on an over under of a Padres line, you better believe he's told me about it at some point in time. So I don't really know like what's going on there, but there's no way Ohtani comes out of that unscathed, because you're too close to that, to too much money for it to be something that they're just like, oh, I guess we misread that one. But yeah, Terry, to your point, I mean, it's going to be a circus of Los Angeles. And I think this might be Ohtani's most savvy move, is staying out west in Los Angeles, where these things kind of fall by the wayside. You know, if it was in New York for any of this, this would still be a frenzy. This would be, you know, at the top of all the papers, all the reports, all the headlines. So being out in Los Angeles is not a bad place to be.
And just think about it right now. They all want to break the big story. They all want to have the smoking gun. In the real world, outside of sports, journalists get like whacked all the time and threatened and this and that. This Ohtani thing isn't that. You know, they're going to go hard for this, and they're going to want to, it's going to, it has the potential to be as big and possibly exceed the Astros scandal, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. So we'll see. I like Shohei, but I hate Rob Manfred more. So that's where I'm at with this, you know. So we'll see. I don't think he's going to face serious more than a year, let's say. I don't think he'll get a suspension longer than that. And we're jumping the gun here big time with all this talk. So we'll see how it plays out. We might need stuff to talk about when the Red Sox are getting swept by the A's and all that. So I'm sure there'll be some Ohtani talk in the coming days and weeks. But put me down for the Giants. I even like the Diamondbacks. I gave them a good look, but I like the Giants. All right, so that brings us to the wild cards. Jason, who do you have?
Yeah, my three wild cards are the Giants, who you just mentioned, the Diamondbacks, and the Phillies. Giants and Diamondbacks, to me, are, you know, they're going to be neck and neck this year in terms of competing for second place in the NL West. And I think that whole top three, the Dodgers, Giants, D-backs, I think that'll just be like a rotating door of, you know, who's leaping over who's in first place today. Those are three really good teams. I'm super high on what the Giants did this offseason. I think that they were very aggressive, and they're doing it the way that they used to do it, where they're spending money because they have the money to spend, and they're spending it wisely. But they've also got their number one and number two prospects are probably going to break camp or make the team to start the year. And that's going to be Kyle Harrison and Marco Luciano. Kyle Harrison's one of the best pitchers, one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball. So now you add Blake Snell and him to a rotation that already had Logan Webb. I mean, that rotation just got so much better. They added some power with Soler. So I think the Giants are going to be really good. Diamondbacks, they were right there last year, and there's no reason why that core can't go back, or at least can't make another deep run. It's a young core that's getting better and better every single year. I like that they added Eugenio Suarez over the offseason. Gives them a little more pop in the middle of that lineup. So I think they'll be right there. And I went with the Phillies because at that point it was Phillies or Padres, because I think the rest of the NL after those two, it's like kind of a joke. And I just can't trust the Padres. I can't. I can't trust Tatis to figure it out. I don't think they're as good of a team as they've been in the past. Obviously, Juan Soto's not there anymore. So I went with the Phillies because I kind of put the Phillies in a little bit of a similar light to like the Astros. Like, yeah, okay, they didn't really change much in the offseason, but why should they? They already had a really good rotation. They already had a really good lineup. So their bullpen, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired, but I still think the Phillies will be right there at the end of the year. So D-backs, Giants, Phillies, those are my three wild cards.
Cody?
And Jason, you took all of my points except for the fact that I went with the Dodgers instead of the Giants, right? Because I picked the Giants to win the NL West. I mean, you laid it out perfectly. So I guess I'll say this, right? What a great time for baseball. You know, I know that we miss having all of those division games, being able to play the Yankees 16, 18 times a year, but what a great time for baseball to be able to play all the teams in the major leagues, right? Because then you open up these three horse races for the wild card. I think that is a silver lining. Not only do we get to see the, you know, the Red Sox play the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Pirates or, you know, these teams that we only get every third or fourth year with interleague, we get to see them year round, but now we get divisions that normally would beat up on each other. A great team that should be a 90, 95 win team have an actual chance to get in the postseason versus getting buried by two juggernauts, winning 82 games and, you know, see you again next year. I don't really have much to add to what Jason said. I, you know, liked what he said about the Diamondbacks, loved what he said about the Phillies. And, you know, for me, the Dodgers are the best regular season baseball team I've ever seen in my lifetime. You know, they got too many stars up and down the lineup. They got MVPs all over the place. They've got aspiring talent. They're bringing back talent that was out for the year last year. It's hard to pick against them in the regular season, circus or not. So those are my three teams. I got the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Phillies.
Charlie.
So here we go. I got the Phillies first for the NL wild card. Second team, I have the Diamondbacks. And I'm going deep sleeper. Like, think Angels, baby. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Pirates with the third wild card. I know people are going to think that's insane. I love O'Neill Cruz. I think Henry Davis is going to take a major step up too. Was that, yes, you like Henry Davis? Okay, cool. So Henry Davis, superstar catcher that, or not superstar, but really, really good catcher that ended up getting turned into an outfielder. I still think he's going to end up catching games. You got Mitch Keller who re-signed there. I think O'Neill Cruz is perennial talent. Like, if this team blows it and O'Neill Cruz does not stay a lifer in Pittsburgh and you don't build this team around him, I think you're an idiot. I think ownership and everybody in Pittsburgh should sell the team. But every year there's always one kind of Cinderella story team. Cincinnati Reds last year, to Cody's point, you know, talking about Ellie De La Cruz, was really just lighting it up. I mean, stole second, third, and home in one inning, which is just dumb. And he stole home because the pitcher was just straight sleeping. Guy is super exciting. The Pirates were not able to perform to their full level because O'Neill Cruz was injured minutes into the season. I think he only played in maybe seven games or six games. I can't remember. But it was really, really sad. He had one home run, four RBIs. That was it. Batting 250. That was it. So I'm really hoping that O'Neill Cruz can stay healthy for the entire year. If you watch a showcase of just his home runs, they are absolute missiles. It is an absolute just show. So I'm going Pirates with my deep sleep. I know I didn't pick the Angels, so I'm sure I disappointed six listeners out there for 4 years in a row, but I couldn't do it again. I'd embarrass myself 3 years in a row. So my three in order, Phillies, Diamondbacks, Pirates. Terry.
Well, they did sign Martin Perez too, so there's that. Okay, so I've got the same exact picks Cody had. Phillies, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks. Not really any major leaps. The Mets could, I don't know, probably not. They'll do the, you know, the Mets thing that they do every year. But after that, I mean, it's not hard to really field your postseason teams. You know, Charlie's got the one true upset special here now. So we'll see. I didn't have one this year. But all right, let's get over to the Cy Youngs. This will be interesting on this side. So Jason, who do you have?
Yeah, I'm taking a guy that you actually mentioned a little bit ago. He finished second in the Cy Young voting last year. I think this year he's going to win it. I'm going with Logan Webb. I think he's sneaky, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, what works against him is he's not a high strikeout guy, but he doesn't let the ball get out of the park either, and he doesn't walk guys. And he's durable. Made 33 starts last year, 32 the year before that. He's entering his age 27 season, so he's kind of right in his prime. He's got a good team behind him, and you look around the National League, Spencer Strider is certainly going to be there. Yamamoto will probably be there, although he got ripped apart in his first start. So, you know, and that's the thing, like with Yamamoto, we see it all the time. It's an adjustment. That first year when Japanese guys come over here, like, it's a hard adjustment for a lot of them. We saw it with Yoshida last year. I think Daisuke way back when he first came, his first season was a little bit rocky. So I could see Yamamoto going through the same thing. And then beyond that, it's like, you know, Tyler Glasnow, he's not going to stay healthy. You know, it's so I just think Logan Webb has everything he needs to finally put together a Cy Young year. And I think that this shouldn't matter when it comes to Cy Young voting, but I think it does help. I think he's going to rack up a lot more wins this year. Like, I could see him having a 17-18 win kind of season with a very low ERA. Maybe the strikeouts aren't super high, but if he can get at least close to 200 with those kind of numbers, then I think it's going to be him. So I'm taking Logan Webb.
Cody?
I'm taking Yamamoto. I know he had an atrocious first start. Jason, you talked about it. You know, they make the adjustment, but I also think he's going to make adjustments too. Yeah, the level of talent over here is definitely way more difficult and a lot harder, but just watching the way that ball moves when he throws it, the way that it dances, there's no way that he's not going to figure this out. And if he proves to be that steady hand, to be, you know, that steady, I guess, just Eddie in this Dodgers team that's got so much chaos going on around it, I think they're really going to buy in on that, right? You know, he might be bevied with a couple of wins that he shouldn't get earlier, and as he starts to figure it out and find his footing, I think those numbers are going to continue to fall in the right direction, right? That ERA is going to lower, those strikeouts are going to tick up, and, you know, it's going to be a great storyline, right? Like, amidst all the craziness, he, you know, kind of persevered, had a lumpy first start, figured it out. You know, you can see it all now. If it pans out that way. If not, obviously that's going to be an entirely different direction. But the building blocks are there for him to have that Cy Young type season if you were able to put up the numbers to back it. And I think he's going to get a couple of cheap wins with how deep that Dodgers lineup is. That's definitely going to help him. And, you know, he can continue to chip away at that ERA over the season. So give me Yamamoto for the Cy Young.
I love it. This is fun. This is a fun one when no one has the same one. I am going to go with the Chicago Cubs starting pitcher, Justin Steele. So Justin Steele last year had 16 wins, doubled up his win total from the 2 years prior. I think he's going to be a potential 20-win, 200-inning, 200-plus strikeout candidate this year. I have really, really high hopes for Steele. I think the guy has everything going for him. This is his year. He's 28 years old, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe 27. He's got 3-4 solid years of being the best pitcher in that entire division, and very few people are going to be able to say, yep, I could beat that. He's super, super exciting. He is an absolute game changer, and I think he has all the special pieces necessary in order to win a Cy Young. So steal for me.
I considered two of those. I was looking at Logan Webb, and I'm like, well, he doesn't walk anyone, you know, he's got a pretty low whip and really durable, doesn't get the punch outs. I'm mesmerized by punch outs. And then I moved over to Justin Steele, who basically punches out one per inning, only gave up 14 home runs in all of last year, so keeps the ball in the park. But I just can't, get away from Spencer Strider. I just can't do it. 281 strikeouts last year. I mean, off the charts. He could flirt with Chris Sale's 2017 strikeout numbers this year. You know, he's got to do a little bit better job keeping the ball in the park. 22 home runs last year, but he's still, I don't want to say developing, but he's still kind of fine tuning some things. And I think he's going to win at least one or two of them at some point. And I don't see why one of them won't be in 2024. So I got to take Strider on this one. Over to the MVPs. Jason, who do you like?
As much as it pains me to do this, I'm going with Mookie Betts for NL MVP. I think the move to shortstop is actually going to ignite something in him. I think he looks like he's having a blast playing shortstop. He had a monster spring. Already in the first two games, he's off to a monster start. I could see him having the full, you know, gold glove year at shortstop, silver slugger, all of that, and then MVP on top of it. I just think, you know, he's in his age 31 season, so, like, it's kind of at that point where, you know, he is at his peak right now. Like, this is probably peak Mookie Betts. So I think he's going to have the best year of his career. And, I just think he's going to put it all together and he's going to win the MVP.
Cody.
337, 416, 1012. That's batting average, on-base percentage, and on-base plus slugging. That's for an individual that's only 26 years old. That's not even counting the, you know, 149 runs, 41 home runs, and 73 stolen bases. The player that I think that's going to win the NL MVP is Ronald Acuna Jr. Jason, you made a great case for Betts. And, you know, I think MVP fatigue is definitely something that we suffer from as a society. Braun should have won a couple that he didn't. You can make the case for Barry, for Clemens, for people in the past, Brady for that matter as well. Peyton, whomever you want to call it, but you put up seasons like that in your mid-20s and you've got nothing but green grass in front of you, there's no reason to say that he couldn't do it again. And Terry, I think it was you that mentioned it earlier on this broadcast that said even 80% of that type of season is MVP caliber, let alone to do it at that level, right? That's power, that's average, that's on base, that's stealing bases. And, you know, he plays great defense on top of all of it. Last year, I picked Matt Olson to be an MVP. I think he had 50 home runs, had 130 RBIs, and he was still just in the shadows of this player. It's dwarfing the presence that he leaves on the MLB, and I think he's going to win MVP again, you know, so long as he repeats those statistics.
For those that I think Mookie Betts is definitely going to take a step up. There's no question. Playing shortstop, he definitely looks like he's having a lot more fun, considering minutes after being told he was going to be the shortstop, he was the everyday second baseman for the Dodgers, which was his initial position when he came to the Boston Red Sox. Then he got shifted into the outfield, and now he's playing short, a game that last year, literally maybe one of three or four players, I could say, yeah, they'll do fine there. Mookie Betts is just a naturally gifted super athlete that can literally do anything that's asked. But I can't pick Mookie Betts here. And the reason for that being an MVP means you show up during the regular season and you show up during the postseason. And postseason Mookie Betts is as good as Charlie in the postseason, or literally anybody else that you know. He just is a zero. And I can't pick somebody who's a zero in the postseason. So for that reason, I'm going back to back with my pick. I think Shohei Ohtani is going to be able to put this bad situation behind him. He's in the City of Angels, and he's going to make people forget with that glorious swing of his, and then make everybody remember that the following year he gets to do with his bat and his glove and his arm and everything under the sun. So for me, Shohei Ohtani, MVP, National League.
Oh, I'm so torn. Which way do I go? This guy doesn't get enough love, and he's so great every year. And I'm just going to pick him this year. I'm going with Freddie Freeman. I mean, he's a 3,100 guy. On base is always around 400. I guess he'd have to tick, you know, the power output up a little bit. But, you know, he's just one of the more underappreciated guys in the league. And it doesn't help that he's got Ohtani and Betts on the same roster. But I don't know. I just got a feeling he's had a number of top five MVP finishes. Let's see. He was third last year, fourth the year before that. Had an off year in 2021 with a ninth place finish in the MVP. Won it in the shortened 2020 season. But I don't know. I'm just going with my gut there. Another guy I looked at was Bryce Harper, but his power numbers are going down. His average is good, and his on-base is still very good, but not enticing enough to go with him. And it could be Acuna. I'm just, you know, it's boring to pick the defending, you know, so that's all it is. And I love Ronald Acuna, so if he does it again, more power to him. So finally, our World Series matchups. Jason, who do you have?
So I've got the Seattle Mariners winning the American League pennant, and I've got them taking on the Atlanta Braves in the World Series. I just think the Mariners, if, you know, everyone stays healthy and maybe if they make a few additions at the deadline, which I think they will, you know, again, I already picked Julio Rodriguez to be the MVP. I think he's going to be a big driving force behind them, taking that big step forward. I just think that they're such a complete team. They put it all together. You know, no one's really going to be able to stop them. And then the Atlanta Braves, I just think that lineup is ridiculous. That lineup's too good. And I think the Dodgers, you know, I'm not convinced Ohtani is going to get out of this unscathed. So, you know, if he does have to miss time, that's a big blow to them. The Dodgers did add a lot of talent, but they're still getting older. And I think now what you're seeing is like teams like the Diamondbacks, who just have that amazing young core, they're going to keep getting better because they're entering the prime of their careers. The Dodgers, not all of them are. Some of them are now starting to get to that age where, you know, the decline is starting to happen. And, you know, their rotation has a lot of questions too. So I don't think they'll quite get there. I think the Braves just have everything they need to put it all together. They'll probably add some pitching at the deadline or something like that as well. So Mariners versus Braves, that's what I've got.
Cody?
I got 50% of what Jason has, but I got Orioles Braves. I think both of these teams are pretty similar. They both have youth, they both have experience, and they both have prospect capital to burn if they're closer, you know, needed to add a piece at the trade deadline. I think they're two solidly built teams. The regular season is a marathon, but the postseason is a sprint, as we saw last year with the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. But, you know, at the beginning of the season, it's hard for me to look past, you know, just the quality of these teams, the prospects that they're able to bring up to supplant, you know, the roster that does have some aging talent on it. But, it, you know, that's why you have the prospects. That's why you have this turnover. And I think both teams can do that in spades and in droves. So for my World Series, I'm picking an Orioles and Braves. It'll be cool to see Camden Yards rocking again. Excuse me.
So I'm curious. So you guys have Mariners, Orioles, and then against the Braves, but who do you have winning? Braves.
I'm going to say Mariners winning.
Mariners to win it all? Cody, who do you think?
I think Atlanta wins it.
So I've got half of what Cody has. So I've got the Orioles in the American League. Boring here. Dodgers in the National League. I think that the Dodgers, I know, it's so boring. I hate myself for picking it, but it's just, this is a team that literally has done everything possible. And if there is a glaring hole, believe it, the Dodgers will fill that and do whatever it is that they need to do. They will trade. They will make a move. They'll get more deferred contract money. I would not be surprised if the Dodgers end up uploading or retooling third base and get rid of Max Muncy or ship him out and get something else to replace him. Like, could you imagine like Nolan Arenado, if that team ends up getting blown up, getting traded to the Dodgers? Oh my God. That'd be absolutely stupid. Him manning the hot corner would be insane. So I've got the Orioles and the Dodgers, and I do have the Dodgers winning the World Series.
If the Diamondbacks would have got Justin Turner, I might have, even though I didn't think they were built to win the division over 162, I think they got all the makings of a great October team. And part of that, too, is Eduardo Rodriguez. He's going to start the year on the injured list, but he's a big game pitcher. And a lot of guys in that, you know, rotation are pretty solid. You know, Zach Galen, Merrill Kelly had a very good year last year. Brandon Pfaadt was a revelation in the playoffs. So, but unfortunately, I think they missed the mark. So I'm staying off the Diamondbacks. This is boring. I really want to go with the Blue Jays. And they did get Justin Turner, by the way, but I just can't do it. You know, I'm mad that I already picked him to win the division. But I'm going, this is a very boring pick, but I'm going Astros, Braves in the World Series. I feel like I picked them last year, or the year before, to do it as well. But I just feel like, you know, the Astros just know how to do it. And, the Braves just need to show up. They haven't done that the last couple of years and, kind of froze. And it was the offense that froze last year, too. And they led in, like, every category, it seemed like, offensively. So, and then winning it, I think the Braves will show up and win it. So, that's who I'm going with. One team to look out for, though, if they make them, if they happen to get Montgomery or they make a big move in July, the Phillies. I think they're sick of falling off, but as currently constituted, I think they fall a little short, though I don't think any of us would be shocked if they win it. And remember, nobody had the Rangers or the Diamondbacks in it last year, except for me in the third wild card, and I didn't think they would go deep. So it's just such a crapshoot. But Jason, I forgot you on something. So what was it?
It wasn't me. It was Cody for the
Cody.
American League wild cards. Yeah.
Oh, crap. So who did you have, Cody?
I had the Yankees, the Mariners, and the Blue Jays for a lot of the same reasons that you guys had them, either as a division winner or the wild card as well. Thankfully, I was able to use, you know, the wide open scheduling in the NL wild card. That was part of my point for the AL wild card, because I mean, we're getting a lot of divisions that have 2-3 team contenders, and I think that's just really exciting because it makes the division races fun to watch, right? There's nothing worse than, you know, looking up in June or July, seeing a 10-12 game division lead and be like, all right, cool, we can check out on the West or the Central or whatnot. And you know, you really only have one division race to pay attention to. This wide open scheduling, I think, has been a really great change for baseball.
I knew something was going on, and Charlie sent me a text to know that I watched something. I didn't see that right away, but I saw you guys' body language, like, going, you know, like, and I'm like, is my audio okay? Like, that's immediately what I went to. I think I did something similar last year, but all right. So we got it all in there. I think this was about a 90-minute show, which is very fast for this format, so that is good. Any final thoughts before we do wrap? None. Okay. Well, barring an emergency episode, we may not be back until Sunday, but that'll be the first regular season episode. And then that kicks off next week, where we'll be back to 4 shows a week for the next 6 months. So we will be busy. Lots of complaints over the winter, by the way, that we didn't record enough. It was just, we didn't do anything. You know, it was hard to get on and record and complain about the same stuff every show. But
we'll... Yeah, I think I hear what fans are saying when they say that, but I don't think they want to hear us talking about the same thing episode in, episode out, because no disrespect, because we hear the feedback and we appreciate the feedback, but I mean, I feel like it was kind of like a you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because you do the same show and it's, well, they just have the same stuff. There's nothing new. And then if we don't do anything new, then it's, well, there's no show. So it's just kind of a really hard winter, to be honest. And, you know, for that, we we completely live with you. We feel your pain.
Absolutely. It was pretty much the most brutal winter I've ever experienced. I'm not even that excited, really. I mean, it's like, I guess, kind of nice to be back in the routine, but I didn't watch any spring training games for the most part. You know, this feels like it's going to be just a continuation of, you know, last season. So we'll see. Hopefully we're wrong. Hopefully it's at a minimum interesting. And again, barring like a freak Montgomery signing, we will probably not be back until Sunday, and then hitting the ground running from there on. Everyone have a great rest of your week. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.